Today is a significant day in the life of the church. It is the last day of the church year, meaning that next Sunday will be the beginning of Advent and the start of a new church year. We are just enough different that we start a new year a few weeks before the world does. So today is known as Christ the King Sunday, or in some traditions, Reign of Christ Sunday. It's a day when we, as the body of Christ, affirm the universal and eternal truth of Jesus Christ as Lord and King of all creations and of our lives. So the scripture passage I'm about to read from you from the first chapter of Revelation describes the arrival of a king. Listen as the author makes no mistake regarding who this king is or why he's come. Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church today, as I read from the first chapter of Revelation, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Starting next week through Advent, there will be time for children in the service, but today, kids are welcome to go. Do you have something upstairs for them today, Judy? Kids are welcome to go with Judy upstairs, so. This particular passage is a foretelling of Christ's second coming. The Messiah is returning, coming back to the earth in an unmistakable fashion, one fit for a king. The second coming is not at all like his first coming, when even though he was expected to arrive with pomp and circumstance, he came instead into the world as a vulnerable infant, totally dependent upon those who would raise him up. This Messiah, King Jesus, the ruler of the kings of the earth, breaks into our world in surprising ways. Not only does he change the course of history, but he also invites the whole world to participate in the kingdom of God here on this earth. Ultimately, though, this particular day confronts us with a kind of paradox. On the one hand, today is about anticipating the eventual return of Jesus Christ when he comes back in all his glory someday. But today is also about, on the other hand, acknowledging the Christ who is already here, God with us now, whose rule and reign governs our very lives now, this very moment. In other words, we live in a kind of tension, caught between the Christ who is to come and the Christ who's already here. And that means, as followers of Christ the King, we have to live a very different kind of life. We have to live both in expectation and responsibility. We live with our eyes fixed on the future, but our hands active in the present. Now, how do we do this in a world that still seems to shout, "We have no king but Caesar"? Well, if we read Revelation only as a prophecy, only a prediction of an unknown future, then we will be led dangerously into apathy and laziness in the face of today's world. What's the point if God has everything done and there's nothing we can do to stop it or change it? But friends, I've said it before and I will say it again and again and again. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. God has not called the church to be a group of spectators watching world events unfold around us. Instead, God has called us to be participants, co-creators, agents of love, healing, hope, and justice, working to bring an end to the forces of evil and destruction so prevalent in this world. The community to which Revelation was written was a community under intense persecution by the Roman Empire. They were people who died as a result of their profession of faith in Christ. Imagine going out the door today and being arrested. So they had to meet in seclusion, gather in fear, and live out their commitment as disciples of Christ under the constant threat of death. The book of Revelation is filled with veiled language acknowledging the terror of the empire, naming Caesar, the Roman military, and the government established with colorful, dreamlike, terrifying language. It is in contrast to all this vivid imagery that a simple theme runs throughout the book, a message to the Christian church then and still today: don't give up. Never give up, because hope is here and hope is coming. Persevere and endure suffering, and remembering always you are never alone. So how do we move forward with the banner of Christ as our king when we live in this world shouting, "We have no king but Caesar"? Well, not only do we have to decide to let go of apathy and laziness toward the gospel message, we have to choose which power we will follow. One is the threat of raw and absolute power with which we are all too familiar and to which we have often been subjected. It is the power that has called us to war as a legitimate but seldom necessary solution. And the other power is a power that comes from disavowing the power of strength and might and turning instead to the power of love and redemption. Friends, these two are not compatible. And as Christians, we have to choose which power we will uphold and participate in. So how do we live in this time as citizens of the kingdom of Christ? In a time when demonic forces of violence and injustice and oppression assault us from all sides? In a time when we are tempted to mute our convictions about peace and forgiveness? When prophetic words of justice and social change become muffled as being too loud or too whatever, how do we live as the book of Revelation calls the church to live? By remembering and persevering in Christ's gift of love. Live as people of the truth, which means offer yourself. Offer yourself as an ambassador of the good news to everyone. Now, living as people of the truth doesn't happen by a sheer act of will. Can't just decide one day to do it. It happens by cultivating our attitudes and behavior and relationships through regular worship, the reading and study of Scripture, and prayer. The more we feed from and act from these sources, the more truthful our lives become and less vulnerable to falsehood. When we live as servants of Christ the King, it means we find ways to serve Him by serving others, both inside and outside our faith community. When we live as a people who see opportunity in the community to share this incredible love that we have come to know, it will include embracing the stranger, the refugee, the homeless, and all the other outsiders of a community, those whose skins or accents are different from our own. and those who have no one. Just taking one person in any group and finding a way to help them is a way to honor Christ the King. We must constantly take stock of who we are and who we follow. For we are to live as a people who hope in the life of the world to come. But that doesn't mean we give up on this world altogether now. It means that this incredible, vibrant mission of reconciliation and redemption to which God calls the church is a vision in which we get to choose to be people of hope and reconciliation. We get to pray and work for a civil discourse and grace toward our neighbors, especially those who differ from us. There's an old story you may have heard. It's a legend from the Cherokee people that's been quoted recently by many. And it goes like this. An old Cherokee grandfather is teaching his grandson about life. And he says, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And then he continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And he looked at his grandson and he said, "The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person on this planet as well." Well, the grandson thought about it for just a moment, and then he looked up at his grandfather and asked, "Which wolf will win?" And the grandfather replied simply, "The one you feed." Bob Dylan wrote a song that said, "You got to serve somebody. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I hope you choose the same." Amen.